The Silence Between Words by Anne Hoffman. Do you remember the day you agreed to marry me? It was nearly fall, the air was damp, a harbinger of the storms to come, and the breeze already had a winter chill. I was collecting oysters, you followed behind me, looking quite out of place on the muddy shore. Back then, when we were still finding our footing, you looked like a porcelain figurine. Your dark curls were always neatly tied back, and your clothes were far tidier than any other young man's in Ancrum Point. Despite your height, you looked dainty, fragile even. I told you that my father had been talking about the two of us getting married. It wasn't the first time you and I had discussed it, but it had always been a half-joking suggestion, a plan to save face in case neither of us found someone else worth courting. Not you and Millie, you asked. I told you not to be foolish. I'd have married her ages ago, if it were possible. But who had ever heard of two women being wed? I was quick to point out you didn't have many good prospects either. In school, the girls had been drawn in by your pretty face, but they never stuck around long. You were too quiet, too unsure of yourself, and none of them wanted to court a young man with the disposition of a mouse. I jokingly asked whether you were going to marry old Lady Bertram. She'd have taken your name just to paint a half dozen portraits of you. I had thought it a rather clever question at the time, but you just stared out to sea. You always did that when we were children, when you should have been studying, even at our wedding. You were always drawn to the ocean. Sometimes I wonder whether it was just in your nature or because it was forbidden to you. It was the only rule your grandmother had ever bothered to enforce, and you listened to her. Even after she passed, just before your 19th birthday, you didn't dare step beyond the shore. It had seemed a rather ridiculous rule, but I understand it now. I apologize for all the times I called your grandmother a silly old loon. When Lady Bertram did end up painting a portrait in the end, our engagement portrait, we were in front of the sea wall overlooking the ocean. Your hair came loose in the wind, but you let her paint you that way. You seemed comfortable, more yourself. We were slightly turned away from each other. I was looking at Millie, sitting off to the side, while you looked out to sea. We wed in the summer, just as everyone in our stormy little town does. Only a fool would do otherwise. Yet in the end, the ocean paid no mind. We'd hardly begun our vows when the rain and wind began. Most folks went home, except Millie and my parents. The priest hurried things along, skipping passages in his haste. He wasn't from Ancrum Point, not used to our storms. After a few moments, he fled to his rented cottage. My parents hurried home in the downpour, then Millie kissed me on the cheek and sought cover herself. We were alone and absolutely drenched, clinging to each other in the wind and rain. Your mother and father's wedding had apparently been the same. A sudden and unexpected storm descending as they exchanged their vows. Yet neither of these storms compared to the one that struck the night you were born, the night your mother disappeared. That one has become legend in Ancrum Point. It came as no surprise to me when you sought work on Captain Mulligan's fishing boat, the Evangeline. It broke your grandmother's rule, sure, but the way you'd been staring at the ocean all those years, it was only a matter of time. Millie held my hand as we watched the Evangeline sail out of the bay. So many had been taken from Ancrum Point that we worried this would be our last view of you. It was the ocean's way to give and take without concern for us, for any creature. She would have what she wanted and give back what she didn't. The Evangeline was still in sight when she went down. Captain Mulligan's wife was the first to see the signs. It was just as it was when your father's ship had sunk, and all the others taken in recent years, without explanation. No one dared ask why, or spoke a word at all. Hands clasped together, Millie and I watched the Evangeline sink beneath the waves. We sat on the dock all night, Millie and I, staring out at the bay. My My mother came to sit with us, saying nothing, just cradling me in her arms. Millie didn't manage to get me home until early the next morning, and still, I sat frozen by the window, waiting for you to come over the wall, to walk up our pathway, to be there with us. Millie tried to get me to eat something, to have some tea, to change out of my wet clothes. We hardly spoke. I don't think either of us had the words. I don't think anyone did. That afternoon, the Mulligan's eldest boy, Hugh, washed ashore. At first, no one dared venture close enough to check whether he was dead or alive. It didn't seem possible that he could have survived, and no one wanted to be the bearer of bad news. Some folks went to find his mother, while others just stared. It was old Lady Bertram who finally helped Mrs. Mulligan to her son. When his mother put a hand on his cheek, tears in her eyes, Hugh stirred. It didn't make sense, but the people of Ancrum Point weren't the sort to question miracles, not when we had so many tragedies to ponder. Millie and I weren't allowed to see Hugh until well into the evening, once he was warm and dry. At his bedside, I asked if he knew what had happened to you. He didn't. I asked how he survived, knowing I wouldn't have been the first. A seal, he said. He'd been rescued by a seal. His mother told us that he was still a bit delirious and shooed us back outside. I never doubted what he said. Strange things happened in Ancrum Point. Millie and I returned to our place in front of the wall, speaking less with words than with our bodies. Millie cared for you in her own way, but she was strong for my sake. I was alone when I heard the splash, saw a seal disappearing behind a log. I waited, some part of me afraid I was jumping to an impossible conclusion. After a long moment, I stood and took a few slow steps forward. There you were, half-nude, tangled in your seal skin. Your dark curls fell over your shoulders, wild and immense. In your eyes there was a spark, a liveliness I'd never known. I finally saw all that you were, all that you were meant to be, a wild, beautiful creature. I can't stay, you said. I told you that I knew, and I did. We stayed at the shore all night, hidden behind rocks and driftwood, basking in our words and the silences between them. After that night, I didn't think you'd ever return, but you did, and you have many times since. I've told you all of this before, of course, but it's lovely to relive it. Sometimes I'm sad you don't remember much about who you were, who we were. Still, I'm glad you're driven to the shore, to me, like you once were to the ocean.